It's official. Our book, Clarity Intelligence, The Missing Logic in Leadership, is available for purchase in bookstores today. If you didn't pre-order a copy, please go out and get one as soon as possible. Polarities are all around us in our homes, our work environments, in our communities, and our countries, and even in us. And if you don't recognize them, understand how they work on you and around you, and don't know how to leverage them, they will haunt you. Polarities will keep showing up in your life as persistent, unsolvable problems. Having this awareness and knowledge compels us to share it with leaders like you around the world. We believe polarization we've experienced in our homes and schools and communities and even our world would shift if every leader became polarity intelligent. It is an essential competency you can't afford to overlook. Start your journey today toward becoming polarity intelligent. Get your copy of Polarity Intelligence, The Missing Logic in Leadership, wherever you get your books. This is the True Leader Podcast. Today, our special guest is Susan Ireland. Susan is a fellow entrepreneur and leadership coach, and we have a lively conversation about our lessons in leadership and advice for new leaders. Stay tuned. Welcome to the True Leader Podcast. I'm Dr. Tracy Christofferson.
And I'm Michelle Trosett.
We are life and business besties, leadership coaches and mentors, and polarity intelligence experts. We're the authors of Polarity Intelligence, The Missing Logic in Leadership, and co-founders of Missing Logic.
We are here to help high-achieving leaders break through leadership norms that cause them suffering at work and home. If you're looking to elevate your leadership, increasing your productivity, effectiveness, and impact, and manage your health and well-being, spend quality time with those you love, and live your best life, then you are in the right place.
Our goal in this podcast is to equip you with new ways of thinking and practical and tactical strategies for succeeding at work and thriving in life. Think of this podcast as your weekly dose of personal and professional development so you can reach your full leadership potential, create a life you love, and be what we are calling a thriving, resilient, and unstoppable or true leader.
If you are ready to learn and laugh a little, let's get started.
Well, welcome everybody. This is another episode of the True Leader Podcast, and I'm Tracy.
And Michelle.
And here we are, long distance, having a great time.
Yeah. Had another wonderful guest interview today with a fellow entrepreneur and leader.
Yes, we did. It was really a really nice conversation. I appreciated it. I appreciate it. There's a lot of nuances to leadership. So it's always awesome to speak with somebody else who has some different approaches and you have some commonality with as well. So it was really good.
Yeah. You know, and some, I was just reminded in listening to some of her tips and suggestions for leaders, how some of them are just basic, but so important. Like they never go away. They're timeless principles for leaders.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Yeah. And I love that she has a partner that she works with as well. So another dynamic duo like us.
That's right. We had a lot in common.
Yeah, we do.
So who we're talking about, listeners, is Susan Ireland. And I will introduce Susan and then we'll turn it over to the interview. So Susan Ireland has over 30 years experience at Boeing and contributions to entrepreneurial ventures such as High Tech Power LLC. And her business partner and sidekick is Debbie Collard. And together they co-founded Seasons Leadership to address the gaps in quality leadership. Susan is a certified coach by International Coach Federation. And she has a very unique coaching style that marries serious goal setting with an engaging process. And beyond her corporate and entrepreneurial endeavors, Susan is a magnetic speaker who talks are both transformative and entertaining. Whether she's discussing the nuances of change, the challenges of corporate leadership, or the balance between fun and focus, her audience leaves inspired and invigorated. And we certainly enjoyed our conversation with Susan Ireland. So without further ado, here is Susan. Well, hello, guests. Our guests. Hello, listeners. We have one guest, but we have lots of listeners. Welcome to the True Leader Podcast. And we're so excited to have our guest today, Susan Ireland. Susan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you too.
Yeah.
We're excited to talk with you.
Yes, we are. We are. So let's get started. And first of all, we just want to let you know, Susan, that we're always excited to talk to a fellow leader and entrepreneur. And can you share with our listeners how you went from 30 years at Boeing to co-founding Season Leadership?
Yeah, well, I'd like to tell you that it was all in the master plan. But it wasn't. I had worked for 30 years at Boeing and I loved it. It was a great career for me. I love the product and the people and the experience it gave me. But when it was time, I just felt it. It's time to make a shift. And I had education in coaching. And I thought, hey, I love business. I'm going to make a switch because why not? Life is short. I am blessed. I am able to make this choice. It was a little bit scary because it was a little bit sooner than I thought, but I did. And it's been a blast ever since. So I started with coaching, my coaching business, coaching and consulting. And then I ran into a colleague, a Boeing colleague of mine in LinkedIn, and Debbie Collard, and she also said she had left Boeing and she'd become a coach. I mean, and I didn't know this, even though that we worked together while we were at Boeing toward the end of my career. And we got together and we started talking about why we did what we did, and it was very similar. And we were both loving what we were doing. And then we started really riffing off of each other about, boy, if we knew at the beginning of our careers what we knew at the end, how much more impactful could we have been? Would we have done anything different? You know, we don't really know, but there's that possibility. And we started getting really excited about sharing the information that we had and the experience we have with other people, other leaders today. And we just quickly jumped in and decided, hey, we're going to develop a program for people, a leadership development program. And we just did it. So within less than 6 months, we had a program.
Wow. You just jumped right in, like you said.
Yeah.
It is. Isn't it interesting how you just have serendipity like that in your life, like that your colleague, you didn't even realize that she was doing the same thing you were, and you were able to connect like that?
Exactly. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, actually, because I thought, I'm a very collaborative person. I think I do my best work when I'm talking with other people, getting ideas, because I definitely don't know everything. But I do think we are all like that. You know, when we connect with others and start sharing what we do best, like magic happens.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Debbie and I.
Wow. That's great.
That's great.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. We can relate to that.
I know. I think you can.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, amongst the three of us, we got a lot of years, right? In leadership and it being exposed to leaders. And I think it's safe to say we kind of know when we're in the midst of excellent leadership. Mm-hmm. And we probably all have experienced some poor leadership as well, right? Yeah. And I don't think anybody sets out intentionally, right, to be a poor leader, but there are a lot of negative effects of that. So from your perspective, Susan, like what are some of the blind spots that leaders might have that lead to negative impact on others?
Well, I think a lot of times, probably most times, leaders are promoted, and we're talking about in corporations or businesses. They're promoted because they're really good at what they do. And it feels really good to be recognized for your expertise. I think it can kind of go to our heads too. We kind of believe what others are telling us. the problem is the farther up you go in the chain of command, the less important it is to be the expert. As a matter of fact, it's not the job and the field, whatever you're in, is progressing faster than you can learn because you're focused on other things now. So the people who work for you are actually the experts now. And so I think the biggest pitfall is when the leader thinks she or he knows everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's like the kiss of death.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, and I think the other side of that too is in relationship to expertise, right? Yes. Is expertise doesn't necessarily equal leadership.
Oh, not a bit.
Yeah. No. Right. And I think that's another place we get stuck. We have an expertise in a certain area or a certain field. And then people think, oh, because they're an expert in that or they're shining in this area, that they're a natural leader.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But that's that's another false assumption, I think, in many cases. Right. And then you come into something unprepared.
Well,
to lead.
Right. And that's where when we get people who come to us for coaching or programs, is they are overwhelmed and they feel like they're underwater, over their head. They say their people hate them and they're working really hard and they're not appreciated. And, they're causing this because they are micromanaging and they're not connecting with their people. They're not letting them, be able to contribute their best work because, the environment is such that there's lockdown. And so nobody's having fun and the leader can't figure out why. And, I like to say, and I believe it's true, is I'm not the first one who said this, but leaders cast long shadows. Mm-hmm. So if the leader's having a bad day, everybody's having a bad day. But the opposite is also true. Leaders can shine huge light. And so it's the responsibility of the leader to show up the best they can be and shine that light. It's more productive. I mean, you're going to get better results. It's going to be more fun for everybody. But it is hard because there's a lot of pressure on leaders too, to perform. And it doesn't, things don't always work out in the economy and the world that make this an easy job, but that doesn't take away our responsibilities as leaders.
Yeah. 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 I think it's so important that you keep your pulse on what's closest to the service or whatever your industry is, so that you are well informed. And to Tracy's point, that you're tapping the wisdom of those that you could be really clueless about what's happening, right?
Exactly. You said an important word, Michelle. I think leadership is an act of service. And when I think of it that way, it puts me in a different mindset because I am serving the people who I'm leading. I am serving the customers or clients and the community. I'm serving the business. It puts me in a different place. I'm not on the top looking down. I'm with everybody serving so we all can be the best we can.
There's that collaboration again. Yeah. Well, tell us, we all have had challenges as leaders as well, Susan. What has been your greatest challenge as a leader? And then I'm going to follow that up with a second question on what advice would you give to new leaders that want to be an excellent mm-hmm. leader? So share some of your challenges with us.
I really think my biggest challenge is that I didn't start out thinking I was a leader. I always had leadership positions, you know, even as a child, I kind of led the charge. but I didn't really think of myself that way. And so if I didn't think of myself that way, mm-hmm. others didn't either. So it was, I don't even know how to say it. You know, it's just people, if you don't think of yourself as a leader and you have respect for yourself, if you don't have boundaries, there is a lot of times when I didn't have boundaries. They're not going to do it either, you know? So it was making that transition into like, hey, you know, I need to start thinking differently. Mm-hmm. And then the world kind of changed around me. People started seeing me differently. Mm-hmm. So what was the second part of your question?
I was just asked, what advice would you give to new leaders who want to be excellent leaders?
Oh, yeah. So this is one of the biggest things is to get over themselves and realize they are leaders. And it doesn't have to be positional. You know, sometimes people say, well, I need this title or what. No, we are all leaders in our yeah. groups, in our families, in our communities. And it really is a chance to serve the people around you when you are an excellent leader. And this is something you can learn. It is a mindset. So that is mm-hmm. a little bit harder. That's kind of an inside out work that you have to keep working on. Mm-hmm. And that's helpful to have people to mentors to talk to and coaches and other peers and that kind of thing. So you can get your head around what really that means. But it's a set of skills that you can work on and improve. And the more you improve, the more confidence you'll get. And it's a virtuous cycle, let's say.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, that's so true. What would you say are a couple of those skills that individuals can work on
right.
To develop that?
So there is, you can have a personal management system. So organize your life, your calendar, your priorities, that kind of thing. That is an easy thing to do. Well, I will say like maybe easy might be overshooting it. This is a technical thing you can do. So there's millions of places you can look at on the web or, you know, just get yourself organized and then follow that process. And we've got a lot of processes and we have a specific way that we like to teach people this. And it's the working together leadership and management system. It was really inspired by Alan Mulally, who was at the Boeing company and went to Ford. That is, you know, that's kind of like a hack. You do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then it starts to put your day in and your day, your week, your month, your quarter, your year into an operating rhythm that takes a bit of the chaos away. And this is not an and then, but also I believe you really have to be in touch with yourself. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes leaders they deprioritize themselves. So they're always fighting fires. But you really need to be in touch with what your core values are. This is one of the most important things I think people can do. And I encourage them to revisit these at least once a year, just to make sure, you know, that they're still, yeah. you're not operating under an old assumption
mm-hmm. right.
About that. But you use your values as kind of your North Star to make decisions, to know what is right and wrong among different choices. And if you don't do that, if you don't anchor yourself in your core values, then you can kind of drift along with the flavor of the day and whatever. And then you wonder, how did I get here? You know, I spent 5 years and I don't like what I'm doing. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's so true.
So great. So true. Tips.
And I think too, you know, kind of back to, well, part even of knowing, kind of knowing yourself and being in touch with yourself, right, is that identity piece that you started out with, right? It's really, you won't exhibit the behaviors of a leader unless you first are a leader, right, inside, unless you see yourself. And I think that's just really so important. And then it helps you, you know, that's why things shift around you, because you start to be differently, right?
Behave differently.
And that's something that we do a lot of work with leaders on as well, because it's just core to your success. You got to be it before you'll do it. right. And I think too, it's knowing your values, but I think also knowing your preferences, right? Because our values can bias us in different ways, and that can have an impact on your ability to lead as well. Because, you know, to your point about living in the shadow, we can live in the shadow of the preference of the leader. And it may not really be, right, the direction that we want to go, but it's the preference of the leader, right? So there's more emphasis there maybe than there could be or should be. So I think those are a couple of things that I was just thinking about based on your comment.
Well, I really like that. Could you say more about preferences? Can you give me an example of that?
Yeah. So as an example, well, we help leaders with leverage polarities, right? Mm-hmm. These are interdependent pairs of values. Mm-hmm. And as an example, from a leadership perspective, the one that comes to mind for me is directive and participative decision-making. So if my preference is to be directive in my decision-making, more command and control, then there's going to be a downside to that, because there's not enough participative decision-making to help us really make the most powerful decisions that will move our team or our organization forward. So if that's my preference and I lean more heavily that way, those that prefer participative decision-making, right, will experience the downside of that.
Yes.
And ultimately will fail if we don't have, you know, the right combination of the two at the appropriate times.
Right.
And sometimes, like during COVID, command and control was necessary, because this was a whole new world. We needed leaders to step up and say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it, and take the control of it. That's not necessarily the time for participative decision making. But as things started to shift, then it became more of, okay, this is getting to be a normal now. How do we bring in the voice of everybody else? And how do we navigate these waters collectively, collaboratively, together? And so that's just an example.
No, that's a great example. Yeah, I see what you mean now. It's totally true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another example too, just based on our conversation, Susan, is a lot of times with servant leadership, that mindset, leaders also can over-focus on serving others and putting themselves at risk. And you brought up both points very well. A leader has to care for themselves, be in sync with themselves, and care for others. Mm-hmm. And it's knowing how to do that dynamic balance between those two preferences as well. That is really important for leaders.
And you know, the other thing that I encourage people to do is to really look at the leaders that they really admire. Because the leaders out there that I admire are the ones who do this really well.
Yeah.
You know, you think like, how do you have time to go on vacation and you have a yoga practice and you do this or that, and you have this job that has such huge responsibilities and you're always positive? How do you do it? And they have very specific boundaries and they stick to them. Mm-hmm. And it is it's powerful. You know, people pay attention to them. And so it works. It can be done, you know, because when you're in the middle of it, sometimes you feel like there's no way I can take an hour out for lunch. You know, I'm going to grab my sandwich and I'm going to eat in front of the computer. You know, that that's not good for us. And it doesn't convey power. You know, so it's how people perceive us is really important. So if we say, I've got these boundaries and I'm going to honor them and I'm still going to do my job and it's going to be done well, that's that is saying something.
Well, I think the other side of that is that those boundaries really help them to care for themselves in a way that makes them more effective as a leader, right? And so it gives them the time to shine a light on their own personal growth, their rest, their rejuvenation, the things that help them have the energy, the stamina, the creativity that's needed in a leadership position. And so then they shine brighter because they're feeding that part of themselves, right? And then they can carry out their responsibilities, right? In the most effective way possible. And this is a great segue to the next question that we had, which is, you know, and I think we've all been exposed to leaders in our lives or just even, you know, leaders, maybe not in our personal lives, but, you know, global leaders that have had significant impact on us or influenced us. So what's a, who's a leader that's had a significant influence on you and why?
Oh, well, there you go. I already mentioned him. Alan Mulally. So he, when I first met Alan, he was the chief engineer for the 777 program, which was a new airplane back in the 1990s. And it was a cool airplane. And I was not even a manager at that time. And I met him the first, so he was, you know, way above me. And I don't even remember what it was, but I had to go talk to him. And he was very nice and I needed his approval on something. Don't even remember what it was, but he gave my, he gave his approval and that was it. You know, and I thought, well, that's, he's a nice guy. I had been with Boeing for probably a little less than 10 years. So I met a lot of leaders, but if, you know, he was very nice, very friendly. And then it was probably, I don't know, 6 months to 8 months later, I was walking across this sky bridge from a building to building. And then Alan was walking this way. And of course, you know, just me, I'm kind of a smiley person anyway. So I just said like, oh, hello, you know, not expecting that he would even remember who I was. And he said, well, hi, Susan. Nice new glasses. And I was like, what? And you know, kept walking. I was just it. And I thought like, what? So, and it's like, how did he remember, you know, of all the thousands of people he interacts with, you know, my name and, you know, much less that I had new glasses on. And so I thought like, this is, I like this guy, you know, and he was, he put together and established this leadership and management system. And so we all got into this rhythm about how to run the program. And we did that. It was very important for him to have one plan and working together was really a big deal. And so in everybody, the, there was, the plan was transparent to all. And it was the first time that Boeing really worked collaboratively with its customers and its suppliers. And we really had an excellent result with that airplane. I don't know if you've ever been on the 777, but it's really one of my favorites.
Did I ever tell, I didn't, I just thought of this. I could have been in the simulator for it. You know, I have relatives that work at Boeing.
Yes.
And back in the 90s, my husband and I, this is before 9/11, we actually had the opportunity to fly a simulator at Boeing.
Yes. Well, yeah. Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I crashed it and he landed it. So yeah, that's what I knew. I wasn't going to be a pilot.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's very hard.
It's really hard. Yeah. But he is, continues, his working together philosophy. Mm-hmm. And he, brought it to Ford after he left Boeing, and he did amazing work at Ford and implemented this. And I've talked to people at Ford because I went and did let's share best practices since we both were working under the same leader. Mm-hmm. And they just were, respected him so much and appreciated what he brought to the company. Because it was in the middle of that auto crisis and all of that. And he really, he saved their company. So, this works, this really works. So what I talked to you about, working together, being collaborative, knowing who you are, but then having an operating rhythm and a system that it really works for businesses, no matter if it's small or large or if it's your personal life, it works.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that really is. The being on the same page is such an important thing when it comes to teams, right? Working with teams. So
yeah. I know. And you could do communication for a leader. That's another thing that I think is a good tip for leaders is that it's very hard, if not impossible, to over communicate. So,
yes.
And I had this feeling too. I thought, like, how many times do I have to say this thing, whatever it is, if it's a direction or whatever. And it's like, I'm getting so tired of myself saying it. It's like, nobody wants to hear this anymore. They're going to, not like me anymore because I'm saying it too much. Well, it didn't matter because there's always people who didn't Yep. hear it or heard it but didn't understand it. And so you really have to communicate in all different ways, by speaking, by writing, by, showing, it's, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're always filtering.
Yes.
Right. Our minds are always filtering. So that's why people you have to say it a lot, yes. Right. And repeat and say it in different ways because we filter things out. Just depends on the day, yeah. Right? What happened before we sat down to talk to you or, right. We participated. Yeah. And so you're just always filtering things out. So yeah, you can't say it enough.
Yeah. In coaching, people will say to me, I don't want to tell my team this or my company this anymore, do it too much. And because I think we do have a natural tendency to say that, that's too much, but as a leader, you really can't over communicate.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Another great tip. Awesome. Well, Susan, it's time to close our session. And Tracy and I have a couple of mystery questions for you so that our listeners can get to know the true you. I'm going to ask the first one, and Tracy's going to ask the second one. So we're curious, what is a hobby that you have that would surprise other people?
Oh, I finger paint.
Oh, tell us about that.
I put on gloves, and my favorite type of paint is water-based oils, and I just take the tube and I do this and I make my creations. And I like to do it on big canvases. So it's kind of, it's fun. I love the process. I've been doing it now for about, maybe about 10 years, maybe a little longer. My my art teacher is Kimberly Adams. And so, I honestly am not very good, but I love the process.
That's so cool.
That's
great. Love it. All right. Question number two. What is your favorite season and why?
Oh, you know, and we're seasons leadership because we're really into the seasons. So it's hard to pick, but I think it's summer. You know, I just love being in shorts and flip-flops by the water. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's my favorite too. Yeah,
mine too. Mine too.
Nothing like good warm sun, oh, yeah, and sparkling lake and sand between your toes.
It is. I think it has, for me, it has something to do with, I think I orient my year around like the school year. Like that really got embedded in my brain, that the year really is September through June. And then it's free time in between.
So. Well, that's not a bad thing.
No, I still have it.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. You know, it's you gave a lot of valuable tips to our listeners, which of course are leaders of all different types. And I just really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, Susan.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. What a great conversation. We always love talking with other individuals that are supporting leaders and I think just very stimulating concepts today that we shared with everybody. Yeah. So appreciate that. And do you have any last thoughts that you want to share with our listeners before we close?
Well, I really believe that leaders are the key to a better world. And that's why I do what I do. And I think it's why you do what you do as well, is that, you know, I don't know anybody who's perfectly satisfied with the state of affairs everything is in today. And I just feel like I need to do everything I can to support the leaders to be the best that they can be because of that bright light that they can shine on other people's lives. And we need more of that. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you. Yeah, we need more leaders, right? And we need more effective, powerful leaders. Yes. That's for sure. Where can our listeners find you?
The best place is through our website, which is seasonsleadership.com. And on there, you can get links to, we have a podcast, and to our blog, and to our Patreon site, where we have a subscription service where you can get even more information.
Great. Well, we'll make sure we put those links in the show notes. And it's just been wonderful. Thanks for being such an awesome guest. And for our listeners, thanks for tuning in again. We really appreciate you and are grateful for you showing up and listening to us. And if you found what we talked about today insightful or helpful, then share it with others and leave a review. We always love to hear your feedback on what you're listening to on our show. And be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so that you don't miss one, because they're all jam-packed full of value, right? And don't forget, if you like if you like to watch video, you can subscribe on our YouTube channel as well. So until next time, take care, stay safe, and we'll see you soon.